I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Give it to me! Give it to me!
Hey everyone, I'm producer Rich Straffolino.
What are you doing here? I'm Tom Merritt.
Oh no, the mic's on. What happened? I say it every week, but I'm just muted. Hi! Welcome to...
Oh, who says the next line? It's on the side. I'm sorry.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you, where we seek to minimize technical and intelligence surprise by synchronizing scientific intelligence and operational detection, identification, attribution, and mitigation of unidentified anomalous things in the vicinity of national security areas. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, national security. This one becomes a lot easier to try to narrow down.
I could have fudged it to make it a little harder, but Matt Batt sent us this one in.
Thanks,
and it's just too good. This is the mission statement for the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, which is, I believe, the office they set up for the UFO stuff.
UFOs, UAPs.
I'm sorry. Yes. But all the, yes, whatever.
Or as I call them, WAPs.
Tom?
No, there's no problem with that, right?
To each their own.
Yeah.
Humanity and the
universe. Oh, you know what, though?
Thing.
If I say it that way, it could get confused with the wide area personal network.
Yeah.
So I'll just say UAP. Then.
That's the only way that can get confused.
Yeah, that's the only way that could go wrong. well, thanks for covering for me for 2 weeks while I ate Korea.
I mean, it was the least I could do. That you gave me the joy of vicariously visiting Korea, so the least I could do is a couple of podcasts. Right?
We are already talking about our plans for going back. Eileen was picking out a hotel earlier today. We have no actual plans to go back. There's no like dates or anything. We certainly can't afford to go back right now, but we're already like, okay, so the next time we go, we stay at this JW Marriott maybe. And
this was your second sojourn.
It was. The first time we went was for 3 days in the middle of a Japan trip. Four, actually. But it was a short trip. This time was the first time we spent, a considerable amount of time.
Nice.
I didn't go to North Korea this time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah, that takes a whole day out.
It does, because you have to go up to the DMZ and
then you have to like go over there in the cover of darkness, and it's the whole thing.
No, the way I set foot in North Korea was to take the DMZ tour, and if you are lucky, which most of the time people are, not every time, but most of the time, you get to go in the little blue huts where they do the peace negotiations. Technically, the border runs through the middle of those huts. So they let you walk to the other side of the hut, and you're technically setting foot in North Korea when you do that.
You're a truly a world traveler.
Yeah. I didn't get my passport stamped, though. So
you're in deep trouble next time you go to North Korea. Molly is out at Climate Week, right? She is out doing all the Climate Week stuff, right? Tom?
Should really be more than a week. But yes, that's where she is. Yeah.
No, that's really all we need to devote to it. Seems like we can sew everything up there. But rest assured, the things have not stopped. And I think I have something, I guess, climate adjacent for my first thing. There's definitely some climate implications for this. My first thing is we're all realizing we have too many car washes.
So not that we wash our car too many times, but that there are too many places to get your car washed.
There are physically.
I'm sorry. I forgot who I was speaking to. To get your car washed.
Yeah. When you get your water ice at the Wawa, you go get your car washed. It's really great. That's my horrible Philly accent. Use guys. So I have noticed this just in my area that like this is the if you're going to start up your own small business, at least in Northeast Ohio, it's going to be a car wash. It's going to have ridiculous looking vacuums on the outside. So much so that recently the Cleveland Scene has been covering cities around here, including Parma, Ohio, seventh largest city in Ohio, so it's not just a tiny little town, just doing moratoriums on new car washes. They're like, we have too many of them. They are not adding enough jobs to justify this. We only need one car wash per 10,000 people. This seems to be like the rubric. Bunch of different cities have been doing this. I was looking it up, and especially in California, we're seeing this when it comes to water usage. We're seeing some municipalities kind of taking that as well. But like, I think there's a little bit of we've hit peak car wash. If you need a car wash,
yeah,
we are good. Now, I think some of this has to do with the upscale car wash was a thing for a while, or at least like the dedicated car wash has been a thing for a while.
The luxury and, car wash.
Or like the standalone car wash that you buy a subscription to.
Oh, yeah.
That you can just take any time you want and get your car washed.
I do like, here in LA, we have these. I don't know if you have these or not, where you go and it's an automatic car wash, but you don't drive your car through it. So you pull up, you tell them what you want, you get out, you go into the air-conditioned little building, and they have snacks and comfy seats, and sometimes they'll have TVs, and then you can watch your car go through the automatic car wash from inside. And then at the end, they do some detailing, you know, so mm-hmm. so there's like guys cleaning on the inside and vacuuming and all that, and then you once they call your name and give you a key, and you're on your way.
Yeah, the I think we have one or two of those. Those are not my preferred car wash, just because I need to be in. I want as little human interaction as possible. Mm-hmm. I'm uncomfortable if I have to get out of the car at all. It's a convenience thing, but I get that there are car wash people. My dad is one of these people that's like, if his car goes a week without getting washed, he's like. It's like a moral stain on his character.
We had the classic thing where we took the car in for a servicing at the dealer. They washed it, which is mm-hmm. normal. Yeah. And then it rained last night. Unexpectedly.
That's why you got to get the wax. That keeps it, you know, that then it's like it never even rained anymore. Yeah. But I think we've reached peak car wash thing. Now too many car washes. Is the thing now.
Shouldn't the market take care of that? Like, why does the city have to ban car washes? Theoretically, if people want to pay for car washes, then, and I'm not doing the water restriction thing. I get the idea of saying, hey, we don't have enough water. We're going to make car washes pay more, or we're going to limit their water use or whatever. That's different. But absent water restrictions, AKA Ohio, like, if people want to, if a car wash can make money, shouldn't it be allowed to run? Like,
I'm of two minds because on the one hand, like, it's like self storage places. Like, I don't personally want to see more of those on Lorraine Road near where I live, just because they're not my favorite thing to
not
look
in
at.
Their but, backyard, I get it. Okay,
but I also get like you're right. It is like clearly like. These would only stay in business, presumably.
If people use them.
Yeah, if people are using them. I still see lines at the Bee Clean by my house.
Right, because they're banning car washes. There are not enough car washes. That's why you got the lines.
Not in beautiful North Olmsted, I will have to say. Nothing. We are in a full car wash. But yeah, it does seem weird to like cap it for, you know, like based on population. Now, a lot of these are like, we're taking a 6-month moratorium on licenses for these businesses. But
again, first of all, why do you need to license them? Like a simple safety inspection.
I'm sorry, Tom, my back is very itchy. Could you take care of that for me?
Yep. Well, as I mentioned, I was traveling recently. And one of the things I noticed when I was in the subway was a lot of people, especially like office worker folks coming, you know, to and from their jobs, wearing these very fashionable square backpacks, kind of shallow, seemingly like laptop shaped. So obviously you're sticking your laptop in there. But lots of people with these, like, yeah, not the usual irregular shape of the classic East Pack backpack or the JanSport, but square. Like a more like a rectangle. I call it a square backpack, but it's really a rectangle. And looking very chic, you know, like leatherette. Maybe they're actual leather in some cases. I don't know if this was just happening where I was in Seoul, although I did see it in Busan too. Or if it was, or if it's something I haven't noticed because I don't ride, I haven't been riding the metro in LA and I haven't been in New York. I have to ask Molly actually when she comes back from New York if she rode the subway there. But have you happened to see anybody with a square backpack like this?
When you first said it, I'm thinking of like a shiny gloss leather. I don't know, like a valise case on your back or something like that. But no, I'm looking at the,
yeah.
I'm looking at the look you have now, and I've definitely seen this all over the place. And I wonder if this is, I mean, it's weird that this is cropping up now because like Ambassador Domo, the picture you just put in the Discord is kind of more what I had in mind. But I, like the one you shared, Tom, I've seen this all over the place, and it seems like it's perfectly catered to the reality that the only thing you're putting in your backpack is a 15-inch laptop, seemingly.
And maybe a wallet or keys or something, right?
Yeah, but we've been in that reality for a while now. It seems like, I wonder what is the spur to, I guess maybe there's slow backpack turnover, The JanSport is a very rugged and long-lasting.
And I still saw a few people with the classic JanSport, like throwback retro backpack. But most of the office worker types, you know, the folks in the white shirts and stuff, they were sporting the square backpack, and they had them for sale in the little subway shops. And I'm kind of kicking myself for not buying one now, just to have it, you know.
I do think this is kind of back with the messenger bag has lost its prominence in kind of business commuter culture, because that used to be the move for forever. Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, you'd have your messenger bag and your Starbucks latte and you'd be running around and doing all this stuff. But I think the utility of the backpack has definitely won out for it is more apparent to commuters now, and maybe this is just, hey, this is the khakis and white Oxford of backpacks.
I just realized that the free backpack I got at the Blackpink concert,
oh my
is
gosh,
square.
Well, that just threw out everything that, because I mean Blackpink is culture. I mean, maybe it's just that this is the official backpack of Blackpink, so.
Or it's just because they're from Korea and that's what everybody wears in Korea. I don't know.
That is also possible. But yeah, I think it's just like business people are like, yes, having something unbalanced on me is way less comfortable than something that, you know, I can, if I'm going to be biking or walking a long distance, backpack, way more comfortable.
Yeah. And very chic, you know, looks, it caught my eye. I was like, ooh, that's different. That's new. And some of them did look like wearing a valise on your back. Some of them were very stylish. Like,
I mean, the closer I can get to having an attaché case in my life, like as a daily carry, that's like the end game bag for
with
me.
With a handcuff.
Yeah. I really just want something that's so thin that really only like a single piece of paper can fit into it. And I'm just carrying it back and forth from like ambassadors. I don't know what lifestyle I have that leads me to have this, but that's kind of what I want. Well, my next thing, Tom, you know, it's getting colder. I was saying on the pre-show, we kind of had the official end of summer in my household here. And that means we're headed toward sweater weather.
Yep.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
People in Los Angeles force themselves to sweat by wearing sweaters because it's 60 out.
Yes. Yes. They will delude themselves into thinking they need to join in on this, too. I'm an avowed cozy boy, so I'm all for the sweater lifestyle that's about to be upon us. But I noticed something. I was on the Shine, shopping for some cheap clothing.
Okay.
And I noticed that I think
to my people that means you were drinking when you were on the Shine. Well, so I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was searching for some fast fashion cheap clothing, and I noticed that there were a ton of just. So I'm just going to call it sweater maximalism selections for men and women. But just, it's not just like I don't know, like an 80s thrift store sweater, but like it seems like it's a little bit more high fashion, lots of different textures, lots of different, like mixed patterns and stuff like that. It's just very loud and aggressive sweaters. And I think we are coming to the age of the, I found this thing on glam.com mm-hmm. about the statement sweater is the must have fashion trend for fall. So maybe that's what it is. I think sweater maximalism sounds more literate. So I'm going to go with that. But I think the sweater as, hey, maybe my conversation piece. I don't know if this is ugly Christmas sweater, but for
leaking
6 months out
outside
of, the year.
Of Christmas time.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, I'm looking forward to buying a couple of crazy sweaters and wearing them and mildly annoying Jackie with them.
I'm sure that I am wrong when I feel this way, but the crop top sweater entertains me greatly.
Because you want to be warm.
Because you want to be warm, but just above the belly button, not below.
I mean, really, it's the continuation of the fine tradition that is the sweater vest, an equally ludicrous sweater decision.
Although I always thought the sweater vest is like, I got to keep my core warm, right? Mm-hmm. So I could make a rationalization for the sweater vest. Like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, if you keep your core warm, then your blood warms your limbs. You can wear long sleeves under it, whatever. But the crop top sweater leaves your core unprotected.
But here's the thing. What if your arms are getting cold and you have rockin' abs?
What are you going to do? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Regular sweater.
There's only one. Regular sweater isn't going to help. Unless it has a window in it.
Which you could have with your maximalist sweater.
Right.
Just have that open up. Now, I think it's Ambassador Domo is posting in the chat here. Yes, Ambassador Domo with the links, as always, in the Discord. He also shared a link to like the crochet sweater that looks like the blanket on the back of the Wayne's World couch. And I've definitely seen the crochet sweater having its moments, as well. But this to me is more, I don't know, it at least has pretensions for something more high fashion. Now I'm seeing it on Shine and Temu and stuff like that. So it's not, it just has, it likes to pretend it is.
Tis the season for the sweater. It's just that you're noticing more sweater.
Yes, I am noticing just weird. I think I also saw this on like Uniqlo and stuff like that. Like I've been seeing more of these. I have no idea what occasion is correct for that sweater, but I kind of want one. Mm-hmm. And you may be seeing one in the future. It's a thing episode.
Yeah. Is that a sweater vest where it's sleeveless with a V-neck and covered in what looks like 8-bit cherries?
Or guitars. Yeah. 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 Now the V-neck, again, the
V-neck sweater vest. That's a classic. Yeah. You usually see it worn with collared shirt, but not in this case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'll check back in.
That's a good one.
With some sweater stuff. Yeah.
I have a question for you, Rich.
Yes.
How often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Can you define how you're defining the Roman Empire?
No. That's not how this works. The answer is a lot, because that's the meme that is taking place around TikTok. I think it started as a joke based on the old adage, you know, men think about sex X times per day. And then people said, well, I think about the Roman Empire that many times a day too. And now it's become a thing where everyone talks about, you know, how many times do you think about the Roman Empire? And then lots of stories on TikTok of like, I thought it was a joke. And then I asked my boyfriend and he like answered seriously, like at least once a day. That Wired has an article up where the writer Angela Watercutter is arguing this shouldn't be men. This should be non-gendered. Women think about the Roman Empire too.
Yes, absolutely. The Roman Empire for all. I saw Nicole Lee, I think, on Blue Sky talking about this is my entry point. So I knew this was in the
She's
cultural ether.
Meme. Yeah.
But That's amazing. Let me think of this ridiculous thing. And it turns out it's absolutely, there's some veracity to it. See, now for me, I'm more of an Eastern Roman Empire kind of fella, personally.
You're more Byzantine.
Yeah. Well, okay. They did not call themselves that. Okay. They thought they were.
You're not just talking about the later era. You're talking about the Constantinople era.
Yes. Yeah. I'm talking about the dual empire.
I like how you got your backup when I called you Byzantine. You're like, no. This isn't Byzantium. This is Constantinople. It's like
we can understand it to be the Byzantine Empire. Sure, they spoke Greek instead of Latin. Sure, it was entirely separate.
In their later days, too.
That's where my heart is when I think about Roman empires, Roman or otherwise. But as someone who was raised with a classics geek father, I know if I asked my dad about this, he'd be like, chariots and gladiatorial games. You got to think about
that. Your dad must think about the Roman Empire many times a day.
He does. It may just be through the lens of VistaVision. He's just thinking of like old sword and sandal movies. But either way, he'll be thinking about it a lot.
Now,
Tom, how often do you think about the Roman Empire?
Not that often. When I discovered this, I gave myself an honest evaluation. I was like, wow, I haven't thought about the Roman Empire in quite a while. I don't know what that says about me. Ambassador Domo found this New York Post article that there is a scene in Suits about the Roman Empire. And it seems like maybe that could have sparked the people talking about the Roman Empire because everybody's watching Suits right now.
Wow. The Suits phenomenon just keeps sparking more things.
Yeah.
Suits
itself is a thing. We also need to check in on a thing that you identified, Rich, because it's that time of the year.
That's right. Yeah. We got some more seasonal things here. Now, a couple of years ago, we identified the giant skeleton as the hot. I think this was a pandemic thing, was the hot Christmas decor. Halloween decor.
And then later repurposed for Christmas.
Yeah, because it's a pain in the butt to take down. But the giant skeleton sold out, was impossible to find that first year, that it was getting real hot. I'm checking back in because just giant Halloween decor is now a thing. I've seen giant werewolves. I've seen giant creepy looking scarecrows. I've seen giant mummies. So I'm just saying giant Halloween decor is now just a fixture that we are living in. Not like inflatables. I'm not talking the suburban eyesore that is the inflatable seasonal decor. I'm talking seemingly a hard plastic giant scarecrow is like two houses down from me at this moment. And it freaks me out every time I walk by it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I just think there's someone standing there. It's not that the scarecrow is particularly scary. It's just like I think someone's standing on like a tree lawn. It's weird. But yes, Tom, have you seen any giant spiders or anything like that?
I haven't. No. I've been trying to think about that. I don't think I've noticed. I think I did notice a giant skeleton. But okay. I don't remember where, but in LA, somewhere around here. So it's already back. Hooray.
Listen,
now that I'm thinking about it, since we're checking in on things, The Economist did a story on its podcast this week about the rise of country music and how it's dominating the Billboard charts in a way it never has before, attributable to Gen Z, which if you're an It's a Thing listener, you've known this for years.
You doubled down. You've been shorting country music stock. Yeah. Wait, that's not even how this works. But I don't know how investing works. But you did know about that. Yes, that was one of the other things I saw going through and putting together the best of last week is all the country stuff that we were super early on. So the old pat on the back. Of course, we couldn't do it without your emails and your feedback because you're always spotting things. We got some of the best thing spotters in the world writing into us. We had a first up here at feedback@itsathing.me. We had Monty writing in and he had a question about a movie thing.
Okay, Monty.
He writes in, "Hi, Tomali. You guys talked about The Game Changers. I'm curious about your take on it after you watch it." Now, Tom, have you watched this?
I haven't.
Yet?
So
okay,
I can't give my take.
we may need to save this because I believe this is the climate change doc. Basically, was saying Monty was writing it. He was really looking forward to our takes. He said he's heard a couple of debunking podcasts ripping it apart, and I'm still on the fence, waiting to see what is correct about this movement. I was vegan for a few years and got so sick that I had to add things back in. And Molly was talking about her encroaching veganism on the show. I believe that was on the bonus content a while back. So, Monty, we will check in with Molly, and we will get back to you on that. But we know that will be near and dear to our hearts. So thanks for
writing
that. I
know nothing about the Game Changers, so I am trying not to say anything about the Game Changers when I say this. It could be perfectly legitimate and full of wonderful information, and I assume it is. I do hesitate to watch documentaries these days, unless I really know who the doc maker is and trust them, or it's not a controversial topic in any way. Simply because I have run into so many documentaries about things I do know about, especially, you know, like technology stuff particularly, where I'm like, oh yeah, they're just playing this for effect. They're making it seem like things are a particular way for dramatic effect, which you can easily do. So I've gotten very wary about taking documentary, and video in general plays on your emotions more than written text. So when I want to be sure I understand something impartially, I do tend to steer away from docs, but that doesn't mean the Game Changers is one of those. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, we will report back.
Professor Art from the Philippines has a music thing. Hello, Molly, Tommy, Richie. For my generation, when you think of an Icelandic singer, it's Björk. But for Generation TikTok, it's someone who spells their name L-U-F-E-Y. First of all, good luck pronouncing that. Well, okay then. I'm going to have to go right to the source and pull up this video to teach me right now how to...
Leve.
Leve.
That's
Leve.
The more English one. And then in true Icelandic form, it's Leve.
Leve. Leve is good enough, is what she's saying for an English speaker. All right. Thank you. Leve. She's blown up, and she so deserves it, says Professor Art. What with her talent, but also because she's such a sweetheart, posting endlessly for her fans, making fun of herself, encouraging people to make memes about her. What's more, she's also single-handedly making jazz a thing for Gen Z. So yes, Leve is such a thing now. Love the show.
I look forward to seeing nothing but Leve content after. This is one of those emails where I feel like I'm going to.
Yeah.
This, yeah. Like,
I was going to Bader Meinhof the crap out of this.
Well, it was like as soon as we talked about like Lizzo on the show, it was just like, oh, she was just like the biggest.
She was everywhere.
Artist. Well, so I guarantee Professor Art, thank you for keeping me vaguely.
That is the modern way, too, is to like do a bunch of video. Don't take yourself too seriously. Like, well done, Leve.
Mm-hmm. Next up here, we had Joe Hood. He needs a thing check.
All right, think check on Al Joe.
Think check. He says, Mo Regan, welcome back, Toe. I've been nodding along to things for the past few weeks. The Stanley Thirst Destroyer, that beach TV show, the fact that GeoGuessr has my son starting a geography club in school as things that are in my world this summer. But rather than go through all the ways you have described my current life, back to the thing check. This is either an N of 1 or an N of 40 because on one early morning flight, I saw at least 40 people doing this potential thing. All over the airport, I saw people with fleece blankets. Not a blanket from planes, but what looks like regular twin blankets from home draped over their shoulders or covering up laps. I saw this as people walked on the plane, people were sitting in their seats, people waiting at the gates, even a couple people napping at the terminal, a proud airport tradition. My flight started at 5:30 a.m., so sleepy people was not a surprise, but what I would like a thing check on, was it a weird travel moment for me, or are people bringing their blankets on trips? Let's see, and also preempt a question, yes, some of them were cute cartoon character blankets. So, Tom, you just had some extensive travel.
Can you verify this? Multiple times. I did not notice this on my flights. Now, I could also be N of one because I was taking an international trip from LAX to Incheon Airport. So I don't know if that's the most representative situation or not. I will say in other situations where I've been flying, I have noticed a person or two here or there with a blanket and thought, oh, well, that's smart, you know, especially if you have long flights and you need to take a quick cat nap or whatever. But I have not noticed it in large amounts that Joe is noticing. So I call upon the THDs of the It's a Thing audience to write in feedback at itsathing.me If you have seen this, let us know. If you haven't, I guess you could write it, but that won't be as useful as if you had. So, yeah, I will probably take another flight in my life, and I'll keep an eye out for this.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Matt wrote in with a celeb clarification. Molly, Tom, and Rich. Molly and Rich were talking about celebrities who had married up. I believe the Gen Z term for this is punching, as in who is punching up in the relationship. There's a YouTube podcast where two guys rate relationship photos that have been submitted by listeners to see who is punching. As always, love the discussion the crew has on all the things. So punching up traditionally has meant you are making a joke about someone in a higher status than you. And yes. Punching down is what you don't want to do, which is making jokes that make fun of people in lower status, because that's considered rude. You know, you've got the advantage over them. Mm-hmm. I could see that being appropriated and sort of not exactly misused, but kind of misused. But everybody kind of knows what you mean.
Well, and this kind of flips. It's the same phenomenon that we had someone write in. I want to say it was maybe it was Joe Hood that wrote it. I don't want to say who. But they basically, it was like looking at IMDb and going like, how did this person, you know, luck out into marrying? Like, it seemed like a little bit more of a negative spin. And I don't know. It gets weird when you're talking about relationships, mm-hmm. but this seems maybe more positive. I don't
except
know.
It's punching.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I have punched up in my relationship. So there you go. Well, that just sounds weird to say it that way.
Yeah. I just say, lucked out. That's yep. It.
Married up. It is time for our shout outs, which are crafted by you, Rich, with your,
this is true.
With your brain hands. I imagine your brain turning into intellectual hands and then extracting the most unique ideas and molding them like Play-Doh into the shout outs every week.
That is actually true. That is not metaphorical. brain hands come out and actually operate the keyboard here. Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's the best part of my day or my week and my job. So yeah, today's shout outs. I scoured the internet for the best source material possible, and I found an article called "The Top 26 Most Unusual Uses for WD-40 Multi-Use Product," all in caps. It's screaming at you. And that, of course, had to be the shoutouts. And, of course, Tom has WD-40.
I will hold my can of WD-40 while we do these shoutouts. Now, if you are a patron, you know about the shoutouts. The patrons at the shout-out level, our highest level of Patreon support, get these handcrafted shoutouts that open as smooth as a lock with WD-40.
Well, we'll find out more about that. Tom, why don't you kick us off here?
Are we just alternating one after the other here?
Yeah.
All right. Keep Morris Jones from sticking to lawnmower blades.
Get tree sap off of a variety of Benjamin Forests.
Get baked on bird droppings off car and AJ Venturella exteriors.
Make Lee Price roll right off your snow shovel.
Loosen broken keys from Kevin Sill.
Prevent Eric Duncan from sticking to pruning shears.
Break in Jake Woods.
Eliminate roofing tar stains on Gabriel Cohen.
Wipe off Laura Abel from your vehicle's front grill.
Keep Valor trucks from sticking to molds during crafting.
Keep Audrey Stoll Adler's spot fresh and rust-free.
No more permanent Louis St. Amour on your whiteboard.
Removes crayon from a variety of Mike Akins.
Makes James C. Smith glide off hole diggers.
Use the bottom of Joe Hood as a stencil for a circle while in the field.
That was also the point of the list where I knew they gave up.
Get baked on bird droppings was a bad read, but I stand by it.
Listen, you know, the shout outs are designed to break the reader. So I'm glad. I'm glad it served its purpose. But thank you to all of our shout-out patrons, to all of our patrons, to all of our listeners for making this show possible. Remember, you become a member of It's a Thing's Patreon and get access to stuff like our Discord and an ad-free RSS feed, some bonus content, at patreon.com/itsathing.
You can also support the show by buying some things through our affiliate links. Look for those in the show notes over at shopping page, itsathing.me/shop. You can also email us your things. Do that. Look for those blankets. Feedback at itsathing.me.
We'll talk to you next time.
Goodbye.
Later.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.